Hi everybody, and welcome to this Sunday live session. Very nice to see Elle on board, and I think George might be joining us later on as well, and the rest of you will be seeing this on the recording. So any of the attendees that do dial in, please, questions throughout. I'm constantly looking back at my screen to make sure all the questions are being answered. But first of all, let's have a look at what we're doing today. We are going to go through a bit of goal achievement, re-establishing our practice goals. And I'm going to talk a little bit about reverse engineering, the vision for your practice and the goals for the practice, after a conversation I had with one of you over the last couple of days. And also talking about, again, in response to some comments on the marketing card, some marketing ideas and what to do, what we can do, what's available to us at the moment to be able to market our services, and also asking for some Google reviews. So first of all, I always like to double check I'm doing everything right. Still recording, wonderful, wonderful, thrilled to bits. Okay, first of all, I wanted to welcome Amelia. Amelia is not a new practice, but she is the practice manager, receptionist, somebody that's helping out with some social media. She's doing a few bits and pieces for one of the practices that are already on board with this online coaching group. And so Amelia, welcome aboard. And what I was talking about with the practice that Amelia works with that some of you may be interested in is doing a little, you know, we had the Trello demo kind of workshop. Do another bit of a workshop where any members of your team or you yourself, if you want to partake in a bit of a doing session in constructing a Facebook advert that you put out to the community, and a Google advert that you put out to the community as well. I think that's going to link in beautifully with the marketing card that we're going to go through today. And I think it's a useful tool to know that when funds aren't available for marketing, can you still get some marketing happening and for a small amount of money? And I think the answer is yes. I'm certainly not an expert in the field. Andrew Lee from Health Practice Digital is the expert in the area, but between doing nothing and getting Andrew Lee on board, what can we do in the middle? And so I'll give you whatever tools that I have that I use for my work as well. And we can do that as a bit of a doing session. So that's going to be separate to the live sessions on the Sunday and the Wednesday. It'll be an additional session. And I'm becoming more and more aware as well with the schedule that we've got going on at the moment that a lot of practices are back on board now. And as everybody else gets back on board as well, there is reduced time available to be looking at the recordings that we develop here from the live sessions. And so at the moment, it's a couple of hours a week. That may be getting too much, and we may need to drop down to one a week, a 1 hour, one session a week, or maybe a 2 hour session, but once a week or something. Anyway, I'm going to send out a form over the next couple of weeks once you've all established your routines again, and just get your feedback about how much time you've got to devote to the coaching group, how much time you would like me to devote to it. And I mean, I'm here to devote as much time as is useful for you, but I don't want to overwhelm you, because I know that when there are too many recordings and you feel like you're falling back, all of a sudden the motivation for sticking with it goes. So I want to get that fine balance. I want to be there enough that I'm making an impact and that you are feeling that you've got enough information moving forward and ideas moving forward, but not too much that it's in overwhelm and it's too much for the schedule to accommodate. So we'll be in communication around that in the future as well. So Amelia, welcome aboard. You'll experience this live session. I don't think you're live on here today, so you'll see the recording of that. I did send you through an email link to the Facebook group, but I'm notoriously bad at inviting people to the Facebook group. So if you wanted to find me under Julie Parker Coves on Facebook, friend me, and then I find it real easy to add you in once I've got you as a connection already. Okay, the reverse engineering goal achievement template. This is the next thing on the agenda for the day. And I wanted to speak anyway about re-establishing the goals for the practice. We can find ourselves in a bit of limbo coming back from the restrictions. We can now put forward all the treatments that we normally were able to do and get back to normal. When I say normal, I mean the new normal, as they keep talking about. And we can be in this kind of holding pattern because we're still restricting ourselves at home. We're allowed to possibly go to a cafe, but not too many of us. We're allowed to go visit friends, but not too many of us, all these sort of things. So we can find ourselves in a bit of a limbo. And I think if we don't take any action or make any plans in this space, that limbo all of a sudden will be 3 months down the track and we're like, gosh, we still haven't kind of re-established the goals that we had within the practice or determined and identified new goals that we or modified goals that we need moving forward. So I think some practices do, when I had my practice, for example, the first few years, my goal was just to grow. I didn't have a financial dollar on that growth. I just wanted to grow in new patient numbers, grow in turnover and grow in team members because we were growing as a practice. And then as you go on, you start to identify very clearly defined goals. And then as you go on, clearly defined path towards those goals. I was speaking to one of our group members a couple of days ago, and he has recently purchased the practice that he's in, and it has certainly taken a little bit longer to get back up to speed again. But back up to speed, he was still in that process of trying to establish a good and healthy new patient flow into the practice. The old retiring dentist was whittling down the hours, and so the patient base as a result whittled down a little bit as well. And so when we're talking about the practice goals, when you are really trying to re-establish a practice that may have fallen behind a little bit, what we want to do is identify that beautiful rose-colored vision that we want. We find ourselves just day-to-day managing little things. I should market something there. I should get that new team member. But unless you've got that overarching major goal, that major vision that you're working towards, everything is quite haphazard. To become very focused and pinpointed into where we want to go, it helps all these decisions become correct decisions that we're making for the practice. So rather than just hiring an additional dental nurse, we're recognizing, because of the fact that we just need a nurse in the surgery at the moment, we're recognizing that, for example, we're planning to do implants. And so what I need to do is get a dental nurse who either has implant knowledge or is willing to expand her skill set and become a great surgery nurse as well. And there is a great analogy of a rocket that is aiming to hit the moon. And you've got this goal here, and if the rocket itself is out by the smallest margins of a percentage, then they are not going to land on the moon. They're going to go way past the moon. And so as you have got this glorious vision and goal, it is important too that as you've determined what your goals are, that you're tracking your progress so you can make those minor adjustments and changes that you need to make sure you do end up landing on the moon, where the big lofty goal is. So I've got a couple of documents to show you. One I just developed over the last couple of days and one I developed a while ago. So the first one I want to show you is the reverse engineering goal achievement template. And what this is, you'll find that within this card. I'm just going to open up this now. This is a document specifically designed for people in the basket of the member that I was speaking to the other day, where you've really got to establish where exactly am I going to take this practice, and then you can start to reverse engineer. Now, what I mean by reverse engineer is that, again, there's no point in starting at the starting line and going, where do I want to run to next? Where's my next goal? Because you'll just kind of go to the next small target, to the next one, to the next one. If you've actually got, you can see that finish line, you can make sure every step is exactly in place in order for you to reach that finish line. Once you've determined your glorious practice goal, then you start to back up and go, okay, in order for me to achieve that goal, what needs to be in place in the different areas of my business, of my dental practice? And in the vision guide that I'm sure I've got attached to one of the cards already, but I'm going to make sure I attach it to this one as well. It does help you identify what your practice vision is. Sometimes that in itself is a difficult thing. It's like, how do I choose from the multitude of different choices that I've got and where I want to go? And what this vision document does is help to identify your strengths and the areas that really make you feel happy and passionate and alive when you're doing your dentistry. And from that, you can, and the questions that are asked throughout this document helps you identify what your personal vision is, but also what your practice vision is as well. So what I do like to say is just picture your practice, whatever time period in the future, you know, it can be 5 years, 1 year, 10 years, it's up to you. You select that period of time. But there's a point where you, when you bought your practice and when you started working in your practice, you did have an idea of this, of a feeling that you had when you turned up, the sort of things you would see, the behaviours of your team. And so it's about tapping into that and saying, okay, what would I really love to turn up to every day? And I've, in this document, actually I might open up this version of it down the bottom here. Here we go. Hopefully I've done it well enough that it's easy to, for you guys to fill out and complete. So the goal achievement through reverse engineering is a template for you to complete. Describe in detail what you envisage your practice in 5 years' time, for your practice in 5 years' time. So services provided, so is it implants, is it whatever? So you type in exactly what the services that you enjoy delivering, the ones that you don't like to deliver, that you want to still deliver, but have other practitioners do it, add those ones in there as well. What type of equipment do you need in order to get those services done? And then you move to the next one, where it's talking about your client base and your avatar, your patient avatar is something else. I'm going to send you some information on how to develop that. What your patient or client avatar is, the ideal type of patient that you want to see at your practice. They're likely going to be, have a sense of humor. They are going to be tolerant if you're running a few minutes late here and there. They're going to really value your services. They're going to be love getting along well and becoming friendly with your team members. They're good relationship builders. They pay on time, they turn up, they refer friends and family to you as well, and they really appreciate the level of service that you're providing. They be becoming raving fans about you. And then hone even further. Okay, well, considering the services that I'm providing, now what age group are those? So implants, you're not going to say I want a whole bunch of 20-year-olds, because implant work really is for an older generation of clients. And so then you think, okay, I want these patients to have these characteristics, but now I also want them to be aged between 40 or 50 and 70 years old, for example. And what I'm saying is that you're not going to end up filling your whole patient base with just this one little niche amount of people. What it is recognizing who you are going to best serve. And then you can start to cater the team that you hire, the type of practice that you develop, the aesthetics of the practice, you know, where the carpet, you know, the type of carpet, the decor, all the rest of it, the type of advertising, the focus of the advertising and marketing to this one person. You're going to be filled with families. You're going to be filled with a whole range of different people. But if you focus all of your marketing and promotional efforts, all of your efforts around how you design the patient experience and your practice itself and all your systems, then to please the type of patient that you really want to have as part of your client base, then your client base will look amazingly different than if you were more haphazard and said, come one, come all. You actually don't want to come one, come all. When you first open your doors, you absolutely do. But as you establish yourself, your needs change, just like we do as human beings. So having an idea of who your ideal client is will really help you in your marketing and promotional efforts and help you develop your systems and your team for your practice. And so it might be, you know, predominantly men and women that you'll be seeing because it's implant work. If it was cosmetic, maybe you want to be focusing more on women because studies show that a higher number of women get aesthetic services done. So really start to think about, and what the size of the patient base as well. Some people think, well, I want the largest patient base ever. But if you've got too many patients who want to come and see you, your standard of service will drop because you can't stretch yourself that thin. So think to yourself too, I'm doing long appointment times. my patient base is mainly around implant work or cosmetic work. And quite possibly that's work that's not necessarily going to have them coming back to you every 6 months. Maybe you're like, yeah, come on, come all who want implant work, who want cosmetic work. I get that you've got your own dentist somewhere else, but come to me for my special service around this. And so then your client base is going to be larger, but fewer active patients. However, if your focus is families, then you want to have as many of your existing client base returning every 6 months. And so then you start getting into the headspace of who's my avatar? Who are the type of patients that are likely to turn up every 6 months to 1 year for their recalls? They bring their kids along each time as well. They're speaking about us in the local community and constantly building the client base with their referrals. And so get a really strong idea around your client base. And I assure you, it comes into play a lot when you are developing any marketing strategies. And marketing people love it. They, you know, when they say, well, who's your ideal patient? And you go, bang, this is my ideal patient. They love it. Scrolling down. And I've left a whole page for this text. You don't need to fill the whole page up. I've left that so hopefully the formatting of the document won't be affected with some answers being short and some answers being long. Patient experience. Describe in detail how you envisage your patient's experience in your practice. How are they welcomed into the practice? How are they when they go, what's the experience like when they're actually moving through the treatment itself? What's the receptionist doing? What's the nurse doing? What's the dentist doing? How's the patient feeling? What supportive things and extra bits and pieces that you're doing to alleviate anxieties? What sort of things are they? How much extra effort do you go to for that? What's the standard of customer service that's being shown to them? What types of communication do you have with them when they're not at the practice? Are there TLC phone calls? Are there marketing emails? I'm not a huge fan of having a lot of marketing emails coming out to your patients, because the with every email mass marketing campaign, you have people opting out. And then when you actually really need to communicate with that patient for something like you need to come back in for your treatment that you have not yet completed, otherwise you might have severe oral conditions come about, then you've lost that avenue of communication because they've opted out of you. So you can have different opt-out methods where you just opt out of the marketing but still communicate with me for health issues. You can do that with especially what they call CRMs, customer relationship management tools. But that going down that path, that is an additional management area of your business that you need to keep an eye on. And unless you are catered for that from a perspective of staffing, you've got a marketing person in charge of that, you'll probably find it more of a burden. And so when you are thinking about that avatar patient, what do they appreciate? Would they like to be advertised to? Cosmetic people will likely want to be advertised to. What else is new out there that I can actually get done? And then have a look at, okay, if I'm delivering these kind of services with this kind of equipment to these kinds of patients, and we're delivering this kind of patient experience, then that means I need a particular type of team member. I need to put people in my team who have a certain range of skills and characteristics. And so describe them, describe the roles that they'll be taking. Are you going to have a stereo nurse on top of the usual staffing? Are you going to have a hygienist, therapist? Are you going to have a marketing person, a practice manager, somebody who just does promotions? What roles are you going to have in your practice, in your ideal practice? Describe what their attitudes are. So if you have got one of the characteristics for your team members is a very strong work ethic that is a tremendous communicator and rapport builder with patients already, then you are likely going to have to hire somebody, or not have to, but you're likely going to benefit more so hiring somebody in their 30s and 40s rather than late teens and early 20s. Someone that's had more life experience to develop those sort of rapport building skills and those great customer service and communication skills. It takes time to develop these sort of skills. You don't do one course and become great at it. And so this, you can see how all of these areas help to then establish who we need to hire in order to make sure that we get everything else, all the other goals of the practice met. What skill level do they have? What kind of performance do they deliver? And what's their appearance as well? Then we move into the physical premises, the external aspect of the business as well. If you are going to be developing a cosmetically focused dental practice, then you need to have a very aesthetic and appearance, modern looking, beautiful practice. If it's family oriented, then you want more warmth to it. If it's implants, you want it to be quite clinical as surgical procedures are going on here. And so describe the physical premises and external aspect as well, the welcome health, that physical welcome that they get into the practice in terms of your gardening and landscaping and how much parking you've got and how easy it is to park. If you are focusing a lot on children, for example, you may have a lot of cars turning up that need that little bit of extra space to get prams in and out. So have those sort of considerations go on in your mind as well. But what kind of physical premises do I need in order for me to attract the type of patients that I want to attract, invite the kind of team members that I want to invite, helping me achieve these practice dreams and provide these sort of services that I want as well. And so you've got certain areas of your business that will help you develop and achieve your practice vision. Once you've got those different aspects happening, once you've got those, okay, let's just go for the, we'll keep with the, what kind of team members we need to employ. Once you've got that particular goal in mind, then you move on to the goal achievement template. And this is where we start to identify what is needed in order to achieve that particular goal. So let's just say the goal here is to hire the team I want. The team that's listed in vision, I want to hire that team. And you may already have a team in existence and you need to, as people naturally ebb and flow in and out of the practice, you just need to become very focused on who you are employing into your team as time goes on. If your team, if you've taken over a practice, be very wary of that. Look at the skill set of the team members themselves. Are they going to suit and be aligned with your practice vision? And if they're not, maybe that's not part of the deal of buying the practice itself. Say, no, I'd rather get my own team on board. Thanks so much. Or you might say, no, this is going to be a family team. You've already got a whole bunch of families here. These team members know these patients. I need them to stay because I need that relationship link there. So then you go, when do you want this by? And this is a key thing as well. With any goal, if you really identify within yourself why you want to achieve the goal, because I want to get to the practice vision, that makes it more compelling. But to actually put a time limit, a timeline on that goal, that's effective reverse engineering, because that means that in order for me to achieve this goal by that date, that means I have to get this done by the year prior, by the month prior, by the week prior, and it allows you to put a timeline on all of your activities. And I've just had a consideration too. The other thing I'm going to add to this card is information about a Gantt chart. Now, what a Gantt chart is, it is putting a timeline on to your goals. Gantt charts are very effective for projects such as maybe you're conducting a huge event and you've got many different speakers involved and you've got to get a whole lot of bunch of things done by certain times. You've got to get paid that deposit to the venue by a certain date. You've got to get the marketing launch by that date. And it's a way of tracking these sort of things in a big project form. But I think it would work very well for a reverse engineering of your practice vision. And so I'm going to just include information in some way about a Gantt chart, because that may certainly help this one practice that I've got in mind about developing a reverse engineered plan moving forward. And so what are the strategies that we're going to use to achieve the goal? So we're going to say we want to hire a fantastic team, just like we've identified in our vision. When do we need to get that done by? Well, if the vision is a five-year vision, then we could say we need it done by the five-year mark. And that might be a reasonable thing when you're talking about 100% of the team, but you might say, really, in the next 2 years, I want to see big changes within this current team. So you might want to put down there, what are we now, May 2020, but by May 2022, we are 80% there with our team. What three strategies are we going to achieve our goal? Strategy number one may be sitting down with every one of your existing staff members and be in communication with them about what's going on for you. This is the vision I have for the practice moving forward. Is that something that you personally want? You'd have one-on-one sessions. I think this would be more effective. Is that something that you that excites you? Are you on board with that? If you're not, that's fine. But are you on board with that or not? And you can say, okay, let's establish all of the wants, needs, desires, and the things that make our current team passionate. What, and just tap into them. And the second strategy might be that with every exiting staff member, we are going to write a particular ad to attract a particular type of team member who's moving towards our vision. We're not going to just place fill. We're going to be very careful and very selective when we're adding additional team members into our team. The third strategy could be that the existing team members, I'm going to start putting systems in place so they can morph into the team that's going to really suit the vision of the practice. And then you come down with each of these strategies. What are the actions needed to proceed with this strategy? And the actions for strategy one, which was to sit down with the team members and find out where they're at and to let them know about what your vision is. First of all, we need to set up one-on-one meetings. The next thing is I need to write an agenda for that meeting. The next thing, I need to really have my vision document complete so I can show it to them. They can hang on to a copy of it. They can really take it home and determine whether that is for them or not. And so then you start getting the action steps, and then we're going to have to make the actual dates for these meetings. And the additional thing you can do with actions is the minute you make an action down, you can either put, if it's a written thing, you can put a big, you can put a big D and put the name of the person you've delegated the task to in the big D. If it's a typed thing, then you can just write the letter D, a colon, and a semicolon, and then the person's name that you're delegating that task to. Because the taking this kind of system to a point where it's truly achievable and gets done is to add accountability as well. So who is doing that action? And when are we getting that action done by? So Joy, can you please organise one-on-one meetings with me with each particular team member? We'll do one a day. We've got five staff members. After the week, we'll be done. So I want somebody on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. We're going to have it at 5 o'clock each day. Can you just get that done? And we need that done by tomorrow because these are going to be happening next week and I need to give everyone notice that they're going to be having a one-on-one meeting. Strategy number two was that with every exiting staff member, we're going to hire somebody in a very focused way, very selective way. And so the strategies we need to do that is make sure that we write up the ideal fit person for our team moving forward, the job description. How can we tweak, modify, and write this document up so when that ideal person out there somewhere reads our job ad, they say, that is it. This is what I've been waiting for. I can already see myself fitting in. Everything they say is fantastic. That sort of document can be something that's written as a group. And you can do a bit of, each one of you can do a bit of research, reading through different ads and go, gosh, that appeals to me, that appeals to me. You can identify, so that could be one thing. Let's write up the ad. Let's get some brainstorming session around this ad. So when we need it, it's there. The next thing I want to do is determine if one of the staff members I already have, if they are that ideal candidate, or of all of my staff members, which characteristics do I find in each candidate or skill set do I find in each particular staff member is perfect moving forward? Let's identify that, and then I can say to them, so for example, if you think, oh, that one person, Sally has the best attitude. She comes into work happy every single morning. So then I can say, I love that characteristic about you, Sally. Now, for someone like you, what's your ideal working environment? What would you read in a job ad that you go, yes, I want to work there? And so that could be another action point. You could also, another action point with regards to that would be, let's identify where we're going to go when we do need to find a staff member. So the minute we need to, we go bang, we're going to hit seek, Indeed, and that recruitment agency that we found out about already. Maybe call any recruitment agency that's dental focused, and had just have a discussion with them. What length of time does it normally take to find an ideal candidate? What do you need from us that you could be highly successful in finding us the best person? So that could be another strategy. The third strategy is, sorry, that could be another action point for that strategy. The third strategy was that I'm going to transform my current team into the ideal team. So maybe you've got a group of people that through strategy one have all said, we may not be there yet, but your ideas sound exciting and I want to be part of it. Let's all get there together. And so then you think, okay, well, we're going to identify the behaviors, the characteristics and the skills that are required by our team and our vision team. Turn my phone off. And then we're going to start sourcing online courses, team courses, seminars, whatever, books that we could read that will help us develop those skills. We're also going to put in place another action point would be, let's get some role plays happening. Let's determine exactly the kind of experience that we're wanting to put forward to a patient. Let's determine how we want two team members to communicate to resolve a conflict. Let's determine what kind of daily behaviors and attitudes we want to have towards one another and role play scenarios out. Let's get under our belt a whole bunch of experiences and insights about how we can move forward towards the vision team together and all together consistently improve all of our attitudes, our communication skills, our rapport building skills, our adherence to systems. Let's do it all together and get there together. And so you can see how with all the different goals that you establish for your practice, once you've got the goal, that's often where people stop. But if you can then break it down into, okay, what are the main ways we can get to that goal? And we're talking about marketing soon. And so one of the goals would be we need to get more new patients. One of the strategies is going to get families in. And all the action thing, and from the from that, like what are the different ways we can get families in? So we'll be talking about that later. But for every strategy you identify to meet a goal, you've got a list of actions that can be taken, that need to be taken, that are crucial to be taken to achieve that strategy. The strategy may not work, and that's okay. But at least you've given it a shot. You either modify the actions, modify the strategy, or turf it and get a new strategy and a new list of actions. The actions become powerful when they're delegated to a particular person and they have a timeline put on it. So keep that in mind. So this goal achievement template, because of the fact this particular practice that I have in mind are going to have a range of different goals. Now you can imagine this is why people get stuck. I know what my vision is because I'm sure this guy is pretty sure about what his vision is. I know what my vision is, but the path to get there seems so messy, so congested, so busy. I don't know how to get there. Breaking everything down and creating a plan is, I believe, the most effective way to get there and indeed possibly the only way to get there. It gives you space of mind. Again, a dedicated Trello board would help enormously. You've got a dedicated Trello board, for example, for services provided, for client base, for template patient experience. You've got all these designated boards with a list, you've got a dedicated board with lists for each of these main areas. And then you can brain dump into the patient experience list. So let me just go back to the Trello board so I can be a little bit more clear about what I'm talking about with all of that. Every now and again, I go quiet so I can check if there's any questions or feedback from people. So you've got your vision board here and you've got each of these lists are key areas of your business. It could be, as I say, patient experience. It could be team. It could be communications. It could be marketing. Whatever makes sense to get to your vision. And then under the list of patient experience, that's where you can just ideas dump and go, I want this to happen, I want that to happen, I want this to happen, I want that to happen. And then with each card that you're creating under that patient experience list, one of them could be getting a strong rapport building, quick strong rapport building from staff members to patients. within that card, then you go, what strategies am I going to use to get there? One of the strategies is role playing. Another one is external 10 training. Another one is let's all do some group learning in terms of, you know, reading customer service books, for example, and then having a bit of a book club going on. What insights did you get? What insights did you get? These are my three strategies. In order to get the strategies done, for example, role playing, okay, we've got to put some time aside in the appointment book. That's an action point. We've got to determine what topic is going to be the first topic. We're going to determine who's going to be the scribe, who's going to lead that team, and all the rest of it. So you can imagine that then you are ordering your information in a way that makes sense, plus you're getting it out of your brain so you don't need to remember it all anymore. So much of our limitation with achievement of goals is that we're so frightened to forget any part of it, any important part of it. So writing it down is an enormous part of that. Within that document, I've got this goals achievement template. As I mentioned, you're going to have either a handful of goals or a bucket load of goals. And I've put a bucket load of sheets up there for you. So there's a heap there. And if you wanted to keep doing it online, of course, if you're just printing them out, you can print out as many as you like. But if you're wanting to continue beyond the number of sheets that I've got there, you simply didn't mean to underline. Copy it. Oh, there we go. So you just simply copy and paste it. Let me know how you go with this document. I've got this strong feeling that I need to have it be a little bit more elegant, but it's a very good starting point. Hopefully you'll see that too. The second thing I wanted to talk about is the strategy manual. Now, this is a manual that I had developed for a long time. It's for sale on the site, the website itself, but I've included a PDF version of it in this card so you can have access to it. To give you an idea, this is just a little flipbook website thingy-majiggy of how this can assist you in achieving your practice goals. And this can become, when you get there is value in getting the physical copy of it done. Don't buy it through the site. If you're interested in buying it, just buy it through me directly. The site has a profit margin sitting on top of it. All I'll charge you is what it costs to print and postage. So don't buy it through the site. Just let me know that you would like to buy it. But it's spiral bound. I've actually got one. Hang on. It is a, let me stop sharing the screen for a moment so you can see me. It is a spiral bound book, thicker cover, of course. But then it becomes a bit of a Bible that you carry around with yourself to every staff meeting. And when you take it home at night, keep making notes within it so you can make sure that the whole team is accountable and timelined into achieving all the action steps. Let's go through what the book actually includes. So you got your little list of contents there. We go through the usual, this is my little pyramid, and this just indicates the levels of importance and the ascension towards goal achievement that I personally espouse. And so it's good to have your purpose and vision. That's what drives everything else. That's where everything else comes from. It's the foundations of your practice. Then the culture, I believe, is the next thing, because the culture is just such an important part of having your systems being rolled out effectively, having everyone get along well, and having certain standards being met by everybody, a healthy culture. And then the assessment. It's always a good idea to assess where you are right now in order to understand where you want to go and how you're going to get there. So where have we started from? With that assessment, you don't know if the strategies you're rolling out are going to be effective or not. It's only when you compare it to the before that you can see if how good the after is. And so the assessment is important. Determine what your actual goals are. Find out your strategies and your action steps, and then monitoring it as well. So monitoring is an important part, and that's just tracking key performance indicators that are relevant to your particular strategies that you're rolling out. But this book explains all those things as well. this is an area where you can actually put down your purpose, vision, your practice purpose, and your vision, and your culture. It's all there, all your bits. Assessment, it goes through the different areas of your practice that you can assess with your key performance indicators. It's got here, and see how old this is, 2016 is the images inside here, so that would need to be updated before I got it printed for you, obviously. And you, these are, this is the way I used to always assess my KPIs at Dendy, and I still use it today with practices. I find it a useful amount of information, a useful way of looking at the information as well. And goals, how to set achievable goals. There's a 10x5 strategy of increased profits in here. This is something, 10x5, it occurred to me the other day, it'd be a great topic to talk about in one of the live sessions. This is how you, rather than having the goal of just earning more money or getting more new patients, what can we have a small impact on a number of various areas and actually achieve a goal that's beyond what we could have achieved before? And so you'll find out more about that in a future live session. That's a powerful strategy to go down, path to go down. So we go through goals and what I was saying before. So we here, there's got an examples here of how to fill out this sheet. It's the same sheet as I've just shown you. As I've just laid it out differently because I'm always interested in how I can display information physically that makes more sense to the brain, easier for the brain to follow. So you've got your goals, you've got the strategy to meet the goals, and then you've got the actions. And you've got a whole bunch of pages for that. Must be a smaller version in here. Maybe let me show you my other version. So right here, strategic planning manual. And I'm just going to scroll down because I want to show you after all of those goal strategy action sheets, you've then got the team meeting sheets. Okay, how can I make this bigger? There we go. Every team meeting can become much more powerful if you're very focused around achievement of goals. And the goal could be anything. It doesn't have to be financial. The goal could be building your patient base. It could be improving team culture, improving customer service. Doesn't matter what the goals are. So you've got your date, the attendees, and the time of your meeting, and your whoever's kind of identified as the scribe for any meetings, it could be the practice manager, the receptionist, it could be you, then they can write in here physically. And the first two items are always going to be there, and that is results for monthly KPIs and goals assessment. And then you've got who's going to be talking on each of these topics. It's a great idea to get the team members involved in presenting different parts of your team meeting. It gets them involved and engaged and helps them to feel included and part of the team, and any feedback that has been delivered. And then you've got the other bits and pieces. I never suggest going beyond 5 or 6 topics for any team meeting. Otherwise, you have got the more topics, it kind of dilutes down the important ones. And so everyday stuff, manage that every day. Big stuff, you manage it at a team meeting. Even bigger concepts, manage that at a brainstorming session. And then we've got any decisions that have come from the team meeting, any new action items, who's going to be responsible for it, and by which date they're going to get that achieved by. And then, of course, the action items from the last meeting. So this is where the scribe will go to the previous meeting and say, what was supposed to be done last time? Have you guys done it yet? This was your finish date that it was supposed to be done by. Or if that finish date hasn't arrived yet, how are you going with it? Do you need any assistance with that? And then what time the meeting closed. Team meetings, like all meetings, they should start right on time and finish right on time. If you leave things off the agenda that haven't been discussed, that's fine. They just carry forward to the next agenda. It is important for team meetings to be a powerful thing that they can be. Otherwise, it just ends up being a regular, not timed, random chat around things that's not really that that focused discussion that can actually achieve great results. So that's, and then towards the end of the that manual then you get a, there's a few resources in there such as the telephone answering guide and day sheet tracking system. I'll go through these at various times throughout the live sessions to explain them further once they're relevant to us in the discussion. And then, now that's before the resources, and then we have where we are, the end of year, where we are right now. So when we then compare our results after the year to the previous year's assessment, then we can determine, gosh, this is where we grew. This is the achievement that we determined this is the achievement that we achieved. So then when we're looking at the goals for the coming year, we know, because of this, we know what reasonable, realistic, achievable outcomes can be by this time next year and put some great goals in place. So keep that manual in mind. Feel free to download the PDF and even send it off to your own printer to get printed up if you want it done really quick and avoid any postage costs as well. And Bob's your uncle, as they say. So that's the strategy manual. We're at 2:45. I do want to talk a bit about marketing ideas because the fabulous George filled out the marketing card and now I've got it under the doing list for marketing. George, you may have already read through these bits and pieces, but for everyone to benefit from your wonderful prompt around marketing, let's go through a couple of things here. So one of the things was the value of marketing. The particular question was, how can I market families, more families coming into the practice? And the Child Dental Benefits Scheme is a great way of doing it because it's a financially painless way to bring families into the practice. One of the things that you may agree with and have indeed seen in the market, in dental practice routine, is that parents will send their children in first to make sure that we're a good group of people and that we're going to look after them. And then once it's deemed safe and that we've been deemed friendly, then the parents come in and actually get treatment done themselves. It's quite bizarre. I don't think I see that in any other part of the world, in any other industry. But the child is definitely sent in as a canary. And sending them in because they're a child, and if they are eligible for the Commonwealth Dental Benefits, Child Dental Benefits Scheme, then that is a financially painless way for your families in your area to be introduced into your practice. There was an SBS Insight program that you may have caught the other day. It was last week or the week before about dental. It's called the Dental Gap, I think. And within that, he's part of the ADA. Can't remember his full name. He was on MasterChef. Matthew, somebody or other. He said that only 30% of people who are eligible for Child Dental Benefits Scheme actually use it. And the likely reason is they just don't understand. The 70% don't understand it's out there for them. And so there's a link to the SBS documentary. It's called The Dental Gap, yes. There's the link to it if you would like to go and have a look at it yourself. You just have to create an account with SBS. It doesn't cost you anything to be able to see it, but it's worthwhile seeing from a couple of different other aspects as well, just recognising where some patients' heads are at when they're quite anxious and how quick that process is between I'm a bit anxious to go to the dentist to I'm never going to go, I hate going, now I can't get treatment done, now I'm lost. I can't get my job and I've lost friends and family and all these sort of things. It's pretty traumatic for some people. So I think just an awareness that brings about an added awareness around that, I think it's useful. But how do we get tapped into the 70% of people that are eligible for Child Dental Benefits Scheme and bring them into your surgery? So some of the ideas that I had were those soft banners that you can get out the front of your practice, because it's not a permanent sign and it's a soft sign, people are more likely to read it, because a permanent sign usually just determines exactly who you are. But the soft sign, and you could get a soft sign for Child Dental Benefits Scheme, one for mouth guards when footy season and sporting seasons open up, one for implants if you all of a sudden started introducing a new service, or to highlight an existing service, you could change it around. things that change in our peripheral vision when we're sitting at the traffic lights or what have you, our attention is drawn to it. And soft banners do tend to move a little bit too. So just the movement draws the eye to it. And so have a soft banner at the front promoting the Child Dental Benefit Scheme. You could email all of your patients and say, did you realise that you were eligible for this? And maybe a good thing would be to say, did you realise only 30% of people know that their children can have $1,000 worth of free treatment? So sometimes it's the way you word things and people go, oh, is that me? I want that to be me. Local community Facebook page is a great idea. I know that here in Sandringham, we've got a Bayside community hub. I know at two of my other clinics that I do coaching with, they've certainly got Facebook community hub Facebook pages. And every now and again, for example, I think one of them, you can advertise all you like on a Wednesday. Every other day you don't advertise on those pages, but on a Wednesday you can. But you can put the word out there to your local community. Did you know that only 30% of people claim this for their children? You may be one of those 70% that are missing out. You can do a Facebook paid ad. So this is where you can, and remember with Facebook paid ads, it's not a lot of money. You can say, I want my limit to be $25, $100, $1,000. You get to choose the financial limit that you put on that Facebook ad. I want it to run for 1 day, 1 week, 6 months. It's up to you completely. So you can put a paid ad, and that's when you go, okay, who's the avatar patient for the CDBS? Get into their brain and go, okay, what other pages would they likely enjoy reading? Are they're going to be child-focused pages, maybe recipes for children pages, all of those sort of things. And so then you can start becoming very specific with whose timeline your ad appears in. You can do a Google paid ad the same way. You just have your keywords, your ad words that, you know, benefits or free or something, child dental. Make sure that you've got all those keywords in there and actually do a Google paid ad. Local area mailbox drop. I used to do a lot of mailbox drops when I had my practice, given that that was 2003 to 2013, so times may have changed. What hasn't changed though is when somebody has something physically in their hands, it leaves a stronger impression than if they were to read it in a Facebook ad or a Google ad or in an email. And so that tangibility of something plays an important role with how engaged your reader is to your message. So keep that in mind. I'll show you something else in a second too that you could use as your local area mailbox drop. This can be done very effectively and inexpensively as well. If you are still building your client base back up again, I mean your patient books back up again, and you've got time, then you can send your team members out to go for a nice walk in the sunshine and deliver the mailbox drops, or you can Be Media, I'll put that link in there as well. Be Media is a company that I've suggested to many practices, and they take charge of the printing and the distribution. They just mailbox drop, and it's actually not that expensive. It's certainly a lot cheaper than mailing it out. But that way you say, this area here, we're in continual communication with. Mailbox drop are even more effective when you do them more than once. And so maybe over a quarter, you've hit them 4 or 6 times, more and more people will see that message and start to take note of it. One quick thing I will mention, I think I've mentioned it in the past, is that when it comes to advertising, there was a very successful book called Successful Advertising, written by Thomas Smith. And in this book, Thomas Smith described the 20 points of exposure someone has to have to your message or you in order to take note and buy from you. Those 20 exposures range from, I'm there, but I don't even see you, to what's this thing in front of my face regularly, to gosh, they're always here, they must be spending a load on advertising, to now they're annoying, how can I stop the message, to, oh, maybe I am missing out on something. Well, maybe I'll ask a couple of friends and family if they go to see this dentist, what they think about this dentist. Maybe I'll research them a little bit. And then eventually, you know what, I think I am missing out. I now want to go along and try things out for myself. This book, Successful Advertising, was written in 1870. 1870. We have always required multiple impacts to move ourselves towards a particular thing that's been promoted or a particular place that's being promoted. And so remember that when you're doing any mailbox drops, that if they got a mailbox drop, plus they saw you on Facebook, plus they saw you on Google, plus they saw your soft banner sign out the front, plus somebody else mentioned you to them as a great practice to go to, plus, it has a cumulative impact in having them take action. Be mindful, and then on your website as well, obviously on your website, put down there, are you eligible? Is your child eligible for $1,000 of free treatment? So put the big headliner in and then have the explanation underneath. You know, eligible means that you have part of tax benefit, whatever, blah, 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 blah. Be mindful that many may not understand how to determine if they are eligible. Provide the criteria and links to sites to help them. Make it as easy as possible for your CDBS patients to determine whether they're eligible or not. Really easy. If they're busy, a little bit of effort is too much effort. So make it very easy. Just remove all the barriers to them coming into your practice for the treatment. And also, promo with key information first, such as, is your child eligible for $1,000 of free dental treatment with us? Not anybody else, with us. The other thing that we're talking about, that I was talking about on this card, and you can read further about it, and if anybody is interested in actually jumping onto one of these ideas, I think it's worthy of a live session all by itself, so we can get all the things organized that need to be organized to get these sort of things happening, because this is a wildly successful one for a particular practice in the US. And I've tried to find it over and over again, this podcast interview where I heard about this. It has got the ideas around I've got it out of my head. He's a famous advertising marketing guru. It'll come back in my brain later on. But this is presentations at your practice. So hold information evenings at your practice. Focus on a particular topic such as childhood oral care or implants, ortho, oral care, people who have got diabetes, heart, stroke. Just pick one major topic, advertise it and promote it in your community using the Facebook groups, using the soft sign, using word of mouth, email blast, local newspaper advertising if that's still effective. Don't charge for the event and include patients of your own and patients of other people. So open the doors up. Set up seating in your waiting room and you deliver a nice, neat, informative 20-minute PowerPoint presentation. All your team members are there welcoming everybody in. You've got drinks going, a plate of sandwiches. It's a really enjoyable evening. Provide light refreshments. Send each attendee away with an information pack. Take them on a bit of a tour as, you know, part of the initial drinks when they first turn up. Take each one on a bit of a tour. Each team member can, you know, take a couple rounds at a time. Impress them with your team, impress them with your premises. No need to heavily market. This is not a heavily marketable thing. This is just, I'm here to inform you. And as a result of that, you become known as the person to go to, the person with the answers, the authority, that really nice person that was giving us all that information. And there's been two practices I've encouraged to do this, and they've done it. And one of them in particular, they were focusing around implants, and they had patients turn up from other practices, turn up to their information evening. And the patients were so impressed and felt such trust with the presenter, with the dentist, that they swapped their treatment plan from the other practice to that practice. And so it does indicate the level of trust and the level of information and education patients do need in order to have complete comfort in getting that treatment done with a particular person. Hold these events regularly as well. You can become the practice that educates the community. These free, insightful, educational opportunities for community members to come along and learn. You become the practice that really cares about that. It's wonderful. Become the implant. If it's only about implants that you do, you become the implant person in the area. Don't restrict your promotion to just your patients, as I mentioned. You will attract patients from other practices who need conditions and treatment explained to them more. So most patients don't ever fully understand what's going on for them. If they're getting things such as implants, orthodontics, and root canal even, they don't fully understand, depending on the complexity of the treatment that's going on. So most of them are eager for more information, and you'll be impressed with how many people want to turn up to these kind of events. And the other one is oral health promotion visits to kinders and preschools. And I've got a whole bunch of information there around that, which given the time, I won't go through now. But all the links are there for the show bags that you can take to the oral health promotion at the local kinder, how to make sure that it does drive patients into you with free vouchers for child checkups, et cetera, et cetera. So this is a card I want to just continually populate. And if anybody out there then has, gosh, we're going to need to do some marketing, let's go to that marketing card and pick and choose what we want to actually start to implement straight away. So I would like to do that with that. The other thing I wanted to mention as well, George, you mentioned, you know, what can we say to patients to encourage them to give us Google reviews? And what I have noticed is that, first of all, when it comes from the dentist themselves, there is more take up from the patients than if it came from any other staff member. But I want staff members to feel very comfortable asking for this, and you can become very comfortable asking for this. And so you can say, patient, we are recognizing how I'm going to say this more naturally. I'll use your name, George. George, we're recognizing how important Google reviews are online. And I was hoping I could ask a favor. Would you mind, as long as you're happy with us, when you get home, to actually write a Google review for us? I've got this card. I've got this little card as a guide if it helps you. And so depending on the relationship you've got with the patient, you can sound very formal, but you can actually bring it in as the way you would talk to that patient anyway. If it's a relatively new patient and they've had a great first experience and they've come out to the receptionist and said, I love that treatment, that dentist is awesome, say, I am so thrilled that you enjoyed it. If I could ask a favour, since you seem so happy with us, would you mind when you get home giving us a Google review? I would love that. Thank you. And so depending, you've got to kind of adjust it and to serve the moment. But, and I've got here, the dentist could whoever's close to the patient could quite easily say, could I ask a favour? If you've just done something nice for them, if you've just given them another great experience, they'll feel a sense of reciprocity. They want to pay you back in kind. And so asking for a Google review in that moment, wildly effective. The key is to remove all the barriers to getting them done, getting that done. And one of the ways you could do that is just down the bottom here, I've got a Sabuki card here. Sabuki is my hairdresser. And whenever I leave my hairdressing appointment time, they give me this card. I should have put it up the right way. I've put my card there so you can see the comparison in size. It's quite a large card. And it just says, share your Sabuki experience with somebody that you know and show our appreciation. You get $20 back off your next haircut. And they present it very casually and nicely. And just in case you want to get $20 off your next hairdressing appointment time, just refer somebody to us. That'd be great. And they hand that over, when they've given you your FPOS docket. But this sort of card, I think, would work very well as well for asking for Google reviews. You could have the shortened URL link to get the Google review happening. Go here, then do this. If you can't do it and you passionately want to give us a review, then give the receptionist a call, she can talk you through it. So I think for Google reviews and asking for patient referrals, these sort of cards are a good idea. When we talk about patient referrals, I'll talk more about that at a coming live session. So with the ways of getting these Google reviews, I have seen it be most effective when it's done by the practitioner. Remind everyone in the morning huddle, remember, we're just trying to get one question, one request to a patient every day. That's all, not one per person. Let's look at the roster today. Let's look at the schedule today. Which patient loves coming here that we can ask for a Google review, and who is it that wants to put their hand up and ask for that? Or, you know, we could say it's always going to be either the receptionist, the nurse, or the dentist in that surgery at the time. So have it be a daily reminder on your morning huddle for a month or for 3 months. If you had it for a month and you ended up getting 10 Google reviews or 20 Google reviews, that's a wholly worthwhile effort, isn't it? So just remind it. And that Google review request card, they could be sitting in front of the receptionist too. So the minute she has someone that says, I so love coming here, or that was a great experience, she can hand it straight away. Would you mind doing me a favor then? Because that's the time of reciprocity. That's the time they want to do something for you. You could also send a direct request. Can you write us? If you love coming to us, we love seeing you. If you love seeing us as well, we'd love a Google review. And you can send it via email or SMS with an actual link to the page that they need to go to get that Google review written. What's wildly important is to role play this. Just have it at your next staff meeting. Spend 20 minutes with every person asking each other for a Google review. Role play it. Become really comfortable with saying the words. And it will be so much easier when you're next called upon to have them flow out beautifully. So I hope that helps with your request there. And again, I think that's worthy of added discussion, and I'll keep putting ideas in there when I'm doing my research about what other practices do to make sure they do get great Google reviews. One of the practice that was so successful when the practitioners themselves was the one asking for the Google reviews is a practice called Superior Smiles in Western Australia, Dr. Rani Gopal. And she's got heaps of Google reviews, so have a look at her page there, and it might inspire all the practitioners out there to ask the direct question themselves. Okay, it's 3:05. Time to wrap it up. Just a reminder, with the Facebook group, ticking everything off, dragging everything over, completed. The Facebook group there is all for you guys. And so as we're moving forward and we get that Facebook ad doing session and a bit of a Canva doing session as well, so you can do really pretty Facebook posts on your page, all those sort of things, we can start sharing those around and getting feedback from each other and helping each other make sure that, yeah, we're all on track. It's looking fantastic. What you're doing there. Have to be comfortable during the webinar. I love it. Oh, Ilse, that is so glorious. Oh, it makes me want to have a little fairy friend while I'm doing this too. That'd be very nice. Well, I thank you everybody enormously. Where's my stop share? There we go. I thank everybody enormously. Please do remember to put in on any requests on Trello that you'd like addressed. I do try to address them immediately because that's when you need the information. That's why you're asking for it. So I wish you a magnificent rest of your Sunday. And I'm about to go out for my lovely walk with my most glorious sister, who's a bookkeeper for dental practices. So no doubt we'll continue talking dental practices throughout the afternoon as well. But have a wonderful few days until I see you at the next live session Wednesday next week. We're going to talk about huddles and other stuff. Morning huddles are so awesome. They can be very awesome for everybody. Check you later. Bye.